I'm about to interview a lady called Tina. She's from India. She came to the UK, was on a very good high-paid job, and she's managed to become a property millionaire.
So there was a property in the market for 950K. We made an offer of 850 and it got accepted. 2019, I came for the crash course. I learned so much about property and I was wondering, why did I buy this property? I could have bought many more. I did a buy-to-let, pulling out equity from leveraging my house. I did two flips and two rent-to-rents. But the buy-to-let, I rented to my company and it's a service accommodation. It makes a profit of 3.5K in London.
Maybe you're in a high-paid job and you're thinking, how could I ever get out of this rat race? I've got to the top of the ladder, but I've realized I'm on the wrong ladder.
You need to get up in the morning feeling super excited about what you're doing.
People's problem in life and business is not that they aim too high and miss, they aim too low and hit.
I realized when you're half ready, that's the time to play your cards and do well.
So in this episode, you're gonna be learning from Tina and how she's making huge sums of money from buying houses, flipping them, and renting them out too. Why are some people just so poor?
Biggest thing is mindset. Your academy is one of the best things to happen to people, but it's not a magic potion. People need to go and sweat.
It's not just that rent to rent is amazing, it's that you are amazing because you are able to identify a good deal.
The first 50 deals I turned down.
How was it going from a senior manager running the show, going down to now I'm having to clean the toilets? Tina, the property millionaire. Buying houses more often than most people buy handbags.
I buy both.
You buy both?
Yes.
I wanted to pick your brain on this interview and find out what your business model is, because a lot of people that invest in property, they don't do it as a business. They just do it accidentally, yeah. Save up, buy a house here and there. I think when we met, I think you had one property.
Yes.
Now you're a property millionaire. You've got multiple properties in your portfolio and also doing flips and stuff like that. Yeah. So just talk to us about you, firstly, your first property, but then how you transitioned and went from just one property to really scaling up. What was the shift?
First, I must tell you that I came for the crash course in 2019. It changed my life.
5-6 years ago now.
Yeah. And that was in London. So 2013, I bought my first property in India for 100K. Little did we know that in 2014, we were going to move to the UK. We moved. We stayed on rent for about 2 years. And a few days back, you had put up a video saying that during the Christmas period is the best time to buy property.
Yeah.
And we actually did. So there was a property in the market for 950K in London, totally out of our budget. We went back, we saw the property, we loved it. And we could afford 850 with a mortgage, keeping in mind the India property was valued at 200K. And we had an offer there. So we made an offer of 850 and it got accepted. We were really shocked. And that's how we bought our first property in London.
And who was that? When you say we, is that you and your partner, your family?
Me and my husband.
You and your husband?
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He is working as a sales director in Verizon. It's a US company.
Yeah.
Both of us have been in sales forever.
Yeah.
So not that difficult to negotiate. It was the MD of Zara. And that's how we bought the property. But that was in 2016. 2019, I came for the crash course. I couldn't believe that, you know, in that whole day, I learned so much about property. And I was wondering, why did I buy this property? I could have bought many more instead of, you know, just one.
Yeah.
So that's where things changed. I mean, it's a long story from there, but...
That's when you started aggressively buying properties.
Yes. Yes and no, both. I have been in senior leadership positions throughout my career. And after the crash course, I went straight back to work in a global role. And I got busy with that. But in the meantime, this property started adding value, like in terms of it started appreciating. During COVID, we bought a buy-to-let. We had no clue that buy-to-let is not the strategy to do, but we bought one. To top it all, it was an ex-council estate and it is a leasehold. So all the things which you should not be doing, we had done.
But you bought it cheap, presumably.
Very cheap.
How much?
342.
That's not very cheap. That's more than an hour. Whereabouts is this though?
It's in London.
Okay. So it's very cheap for London.
Very cheap for London. It's a 3-bed. But at that point of time, though the rental income was about 1,300, the profit was only about £200.
So you're renting it for 1,300, but you bought it for 300 odd grand.
Correct.
That's terrible yield.
Absolutely. And London is not really known for great yields.
No.
Especially if you buy a flat. COVID, people were moving to houses. And not really flats.
There was a lot of people moving out of London.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a flop.
That was a flop.
Do you still own that one?
Oh, yes.
How much is it worth now?
That's a crazy story. And I'm going to tell you what the training did for me.
Okay. We'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
Going back to the first residential property, I put a second charge, learned from Tony and from Sue from the academy.
The mentors.
Yes. Yeah, and put a second charge immediately and invested that into two flips, which is going to generate about 65K this year.
It's good.
And that's where the residence took me. But the buy-to-let from the 200 profit which I was making, I learned about rent-to-rents. So now I rent it to my company and it's a service accommodation. It makes a profit of 3.5K in London.
Jeez. Oh my goodness. So it went from making £200 to £3,500.
In profit, not turnover.
So you did it as a rent-to-rent, but yourself on your own company.
Yes.
Why did you structure it that way?
On an AST with myself, I would have to be a sole trader and it didn't really make commercial sense for me.
Yeah.
There are insurances which you need to take care of when you have a service accommodation.
Yeah.
There are plenty of costs.
That's the power of having people around you that can give you some little tips.
Absolutely.
Because most people wouldn't know how to structure it. Yeah. They wouldn't know if it would work. They wouldn't think to do it. And that's the thing, like with the mentors that you get on the academy, they're my mentors.
Yeah.
Tony's my mentor. Yeah. Sue is my mom. And these are the people that you're talking
and
about.
And I have used the academy in a very, very different way from everybody else. I have called Sue even if when I didn't have a question. So I would book calls every day. And my husband's like, do you have a question? I said, I'm sure I'll have one by the evening. And I had calls with her sometimes during her holidays when she would tell me, I have a 1 hour slot only, Tina. I said, I'm going to take 15 minutes of it. And with Tony as well. So these two mentors specifically, keeping in mind my journey, they changed my life.
Yeah.
So that's where they were.
Well, that's absolutely huge. Are you still working full time or have you quit?
No. So when I came for the crash course in 2019, I realized with my corporate world or corporate career, it was impossible for me to do both.
Right.
It was always a global role. So I was never in the country, responsible for hundreds of people across, you know, the globe. And that's when I came back for the crash course in 23, last year.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'm going to quit and then go for the crash course.
Right.
So I didn't do that. I came for the crash course, came for the BRR program, and I quit after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a big step, though.
It is a very, very big step.
Because you were earning, like, good money. What were you making?
Six figures, always, for the last couple of years. 180.
About 180 grand a year salary. Yeah. That's huge.
That's salary, plus you have a bonus.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very difficult job to quit, but you just knew in your heart of hearts that... You didn't want to do it. You didn't want to be stuck doing that.
You know, Samuel, it's not just about being stuck. You need to get up in the morning feeling super excited about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I used to be in my corporate world because from a frontline person, you're growing up the ladder. You're the only woman in India heading sales. You come to a foreign country, which is UK, and, you know, a chairman of a company says, okay, you've done head of sales. Why don't you head the country? I was like, I'm not ready. And they were like, no, I think you're ready. And I realized when you're half ready, that's the time to play your cards and do well. So I enjoyed the journey. But over time, I realized that that spark was missing in my life.
Mm.
I didn't have anything great to wake up to except doing the same stuff. And that's when I got a mail from you again in 2023 saying you need to come for the crash course. It was, of course, to a lot of people, I'm sure, but I felt it was for me. It was a calling. And I went for the crash course. I loved it all over again. And I said, this is the time now to make a move.
And that's when you decided to get mentored?
100%. I think education is seriously important. I meet so many, many people now that I'm a part of the academy, whether it's inside the academy or outside. There are a lot of people who feel you don't need the education and YouTube is enough. You know, I have watched enough YouTube. I have experience in property. It's just not enough. I would have been earning the same 200 pounds from the buy-to-let. So,
and you don't know what you don't know.
You
need a mentor with experience, with decades of experience to come on in, look at you, look at your property, look at your portfolio, look at your skill set, and then be able to tell you, you need to do this, this, and this. Right. When you just blindly on YouTube searching. You don't know what even questions to ask.
Absolutely, absolutely. For me, the academy changed my life. A lot of people join it for the education. A lot of people join it for networking. I think I got everything out of it. Now, I'll tell you why a little bit more, because I have always led people in terms of having very, very large teams. And when I wanted to become an entrepreneur, I didn't know what to do with myself in the morning. I didn't know, you know, who to go to seek answers for anything.
Yeah.
And here I had thousands of people like pick up the phone, meet for a coffee, pick their brains for something which I'm stuck at. And I met some wonderful people. Today where I am, it's besides the academy, it's the members of the academy also.
Yeah, so, the community. Yeah. And also community. I think what you're talking about is like structure.
Yes.
I remember when I was working on my property business and I was working really hard, but I felt like I was a bit all over the place.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I'd quite like to have a job.
Yeah.
And just turn up, have structure, do what, bum, 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 and then at 6 o'clock, switch off, and then go back. So I got a job as an estate agent.
Wow.
And I worked as an estate agent for about maybe 3-4 months. And I was working so hard when I was an estate agent. And I remember thinking, if I worked as hard on my business, as I'm working right now on this job, I'd be a millionaire.
Absolutely.
Because the way that they'll push me, and I've got on my X number of calls, I've got targets and KPIs, bam, 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 bam. I thought, if I just apply this, and that really helped me, because then when I left my job, I quit. After I quit, then I applied that same work ethic to my business.
Yeah.
And it just blew my property business up, because so many people, I'll say to them, I remember Tony said to me, your mentor, my mentor.
Absolutely.
Tony said to me, here's a script. Ring up properties that have been on the market for 3 months or more, still haven't sold. Ring up and just say, look, I know they want 200,000. I'll come in, I'll buy it, but it's only going to be about 150,000 that I'll be able to offer. Is it worth booking a viewing or not? And if they go, oh no, there's no way they'll accept that. No problem. Next. And just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And I said to Tony, it's not working. Yeah. I've spoken to everybody and they just keep saying no. And Tony said, I was only about 19, 20. He said, how many people have you rang? I said, 10, 20.
Yeah.
He said, 10, 20? Is it 10 or is it 20? Because that's 100% difference.
Yeah.
And I said, he said, let me see your call history. It was 8.
Yeah.
And he said, and we looked at how long I'd spent on the phone. It was like 2 minutes. So you've been on the phone for about 16 minutes and you're saying it doesn't work and trying to quit. Whereas when you're in a workplace, if your boss tells you, call 100 people and say this, you're not thinking about, oh, it's not working. You're just doing it because you're told to do it.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have people around you that can hold you to account, give you structure, tell you what needs to be done. So I can understand why you were booking mentoring calls every day, even when you didn't need one, just to say, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
And for me, it was also about, I had no clue what to do because I delegated for far too long. So I had people. I didn't know how to work. I didn't know how to get things done myself. So I just knew how to, send it somebody else's way. And it would come back end of the day, okay, this has been done and that's not been done. I need to just, figure out, okay, how do you ensure you make a revenue? How do you make a profit? And you tweak things along the way. So you do not do things yourself as you grow up the ladder. That was very tough for me when I first started being an entrepreneur. And when Tony signed me up to the academy, I told him, I'm uncoachable. I was like, I have no clue how you're going to coach me. And he's like, I'm going to work on you. And he did. So,
what do you think Tony thinks about you?
He loves me.
Does it? Yeah. Shall I ask him? Shall I call him and ask him?
Please do.
Let me call him and ask him what he thinks about you. Let me, because I don't know, does he know that you're coming today to come on?
No.
Oh, he doesn't know?
No.
Let me call him. Tony Crow, my mentor, your mentor. Hopefully he'll answer. Tony's too busy buying houses in Brighton.
I'm sure.
Hello?
Tony, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, you?
Yeah, just to let you know, I'm just sat here right now with Tina from the academy.
Right, yeah.
You know Tina?
Yeah, I know her very well, yeah.
She's raving about you, bro.
Is she?
She says your mentorship has been absolutely impeccable.
Well, a bribe will go a long way, I guess. No, I'm glad she thinks so. And I love Tina. I think she's great.
Yeah, well, she sat here now doing Winners on a Wednesday. And she just said that you've been massively supportive and helpful. So I just wanted to give a bit of a shout out to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you. That's really kind of you. But yeah, I do try. Yes, you know.
Awesome, mate. Appreciate you, brother. Amazing. No, but so that first property then that you bought, you switched that around.
Yeah.
Running at short stay, that's brilliant. Yeah. What else have you bought? What have you been buying recently?
So two flips, those are JVs because I really wanted to learn BRLs. And by, I think, May, we should be able to sell them after they're developed.
Sure.
So I invested about 150K. Should give me a minimum about 60K in profit.
Yeah.
So I was trying to see in a rolling year on an annualized basis, can I make up for my old salary in a year?
Yeah.
And my husband was like, that's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough.
Yeah. But it wasn't because...
Have you done that then?
Almost so.
Wow.
So if we do the math...
I guess if you include the flip income and the rent income... You should be there now.
I have two more on rent to rent. I want to do all possible strategies in year one.
Yeah.
You can't do all. I learned that. But I did a buy to let. I did pulling out equity from my, you know, leveraging my house. I did two flips and two rent to rents. The rent to rents are crazy in terms of a story.
Are they? Go on.
I haven't even seen them. It's not my advice to anybody. Keeping in mind, again, my background... you always invest in people and you look for really good talent. So when I was in the academy, a part of the academy, I was looking for BRRs. I couldn't find any, but I met the best people. So rent to rents, I met Aseem Ramzi, who has 40 properties right now. So I learned rent to rent from
him. Who's that?
Aseem Ramzi.
Okay, of course. He's been on Winners on a Wednesday.
Yes, and to Uganda with you.
He's been to Uganda with me. Good
and,
friend.
Yeah, he's from my area. So I met up with him. Plenty of advice. When I wanted to do BRRs, I met Narelle. I sat in a truck, went to all her properties.
She's also on the academy, being on Winners on a Wednesday.
Yes. I met Naj, who you pulled out of, you know, the crash course and who did the Winners on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I met a lot of people and I could understand exactly what I really want to do from the education to, you know, actually doing it. I didn't meet Jordan Jones. But big shout out to the guy.
Yeah.
Had a chat with him. He was looking for a BRR for me. He couldn't find one. But he found a rent to rent. I was like, okay, is it going to make money? He's like, yeah, I'm going to send you the Excel. I said, whatever numbers you've put, just, you know, remove 20% from there before you send it to me. I want really conservative figures.
Mm.
And he's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, 100% sure. I did the comparables, did my due diligence, everything what, you know, the academy teaches you to do. That property in October gave us a revenue of 5,200 turnover and a profit of 2,551.
Wow.
I have the invoice with me. And it's the same contractors who've been there from day one, just going off for Christmas and back in January again.
Yeah.
I've invested in my second property with Jordan. I haven't met Jordan. I haven't seen my property. I've staged it from London. He manages it. And it's an amazing partnership.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So $2,500 profit.
Yes.
Is that normal or was that a record month?
It's, I think, not really normal, but it's October. It's not even summer.
Yeah.
So I am conservatively putting it as 1,800 profit for each of the Munmills properties.
So about $3,600-$4,000 around there.
Yeah. Let's say $3,600 for these two.
Yeah.
My London property has been giving me $3,500.
Do you know what's interesting though, Tina?
Yeah.
Most people, just one rent to rent like that would be life changing.
Yes.
You were trying to replace a salary,
like
a very high paid salary.
Yeah.
But if someone's making 30, 40, 50 grand, they could replace that with just two rent to rent deals.
They need to actually figure out, you know, instead of playing the volume game, how do you get the best property with the best kind of ADRs?
Mm.
That's the main thing in the game.
Quality.
It's quality. So you can either pay, play the, you know, the volume game, say that, okay, I'm going to profit 600 to 1K per property and have 20 of those or 30 of those. Or you say there are people in Brighton who have huge properties and they have a profit of about 4K per month from one property.
How did you get around the referencing? Because if you quit your job and you've not got a salary, trying to rent properties, was that not a challenge?
So... Jordan thought that I would have a challenge. I sent my papers to Goodlord, who's the referencing agency. I got referenced immediately. My credit score is a perfect credit score, my personal credit score.
Right.
My limited company is now operational for a year.
Right.
And I didn't have a problem.
Do you think that though, it's just interesting because to you, if you got one extra rent to rent that made you $2,000 a month,
yeah,
it wouldn't be like a massive deal. You've got lots of properties, lots of, but to some people, just one deal will be life changing. Why is it that certain people just seem to be able to win and snowball success?
Yeah.
Because you're just getting started.
I'm just getting started.
So to think where you're going to be compared to someone who's just, oh, I'm struggling. I'm in a job. I make $2,000-$3,000 a month. I haven't got any properties. Why? Why are some people just so poor?
I think it's to do with quite a few things. The biggest thing is mindset. You've got to get up in the morning thinking that I am going to win. Your academy, Samuel, is one of the best things to happen to people. But it's not a magic potion. People need to go and sweat. Yeah. You need to go and work from morning 4 o'clock. I get up at 4:30. You need to work for your money. So there are people who have the inertia where they're happy with their 9-to-5 earning minimum wages. And they would be very unhappy with people making money. So you have those people. There are people on the fence who might get educated and then they wouldn't do anything about it. It's like what you're talking about. They would not make the calls. They won't be productive.
And they're usually the people that maybe watch a few YouTube videos, maybe come to one crash course. They're on the fence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you have those high performance people who are on it every day. I mean, the room full of people I've met today, everybody is doing like killing it. Mm. And that's the room I want to be in always. So the people, the question you asked is about those people who are, you know, on a 2K, 2.5K. You've got to do something with your life is my only advice.
I think as well, it's about acceptance.
Yeah.
If you accept something or tolerate something, then that's what you'll get. So if you think, I'm not settling, like with you, because you previously earned 6 figures, in your mind, you have to replace that.
Yes.
That's the minimum. Yes.
Absolutely.
Whereas for some people, the minimum is so much lower.
Yeah.
It's almost like someone once said, people's problem in life and business is not that they aim too high and miss. Their problem is that they aim too low and hit.
Correct.
So I think people need to just push themselves and have a higher financial thermostat.
Absolutely.
And make it happen.
And I've met so many people in my life, and especially when I moved to London from India, because your network changes, right? Because you're moving country. The rooms I entered then and the rooms I enter today are so different. I'm entering rooms full of winners. There's no internal competition. People are just there to help each other. Everybody has a mindset of winning. So even your living room today, it was a room full of people who are waiting to do the next move. So I would say I'm there for people who are, you know, earning the 2-2.5K to help them build their life, guide them, okay, you know, go and get educated and change your life. But if they don't, I would say it's a loss.
Yeah. How was the accelerated coaching performance program? What happened?
That was a game changer. I can't even believe I'm sitting here today, honestly. I couldn't believe I was sitting in the sofas in the ACPP. It's 22 people that day and you grill them really bad, I must say. But it's about, I think, most people, after they get by a year or say 7-8 months, they don't know how to scale out next.
Yeah.
So that program teaches you, how do you take, you know, the next leap? How do you go 3x from here, 10x from here?
Yeah.
How do you ensure your goals are bigger? Mm. And besides hearing everybody's stories and learning from them, I love the education, which, you know, the small pieces of education which were coming by in those 3 days. And you were spending 3 days with us. It's such a huge, I mean, there's a lot of value for your time.
Yeah, and that's just part of the academy. You know, people don't realize the academy is not a course.
Yes.
It's a mentorship. It's a lifestyle. It's coaching.
Yeah.
Come down to my hotel, spend a couple of days with you, coaching you. See, because a lot of people, when they get to the 7th, 8th month or the final part of the year, they might have hit their goals.
Yes.
But now it's like, what next? Because their goal was so small. Their goal was, oh, I want to replace my income and make $3,000 a month. Okay, you've done it now. Congratulations. Yeah. But you're still poor.
Yeah.
You're still driving the same car. Like, come on, what next?
Absolutely.
And making people think 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
And then putting a plan of how to get there.
Yeah.
I think is imperative. What does your husband, what does he think of all this then?
I think I'm one of those few people who've been blessed with a family of believers they think I'm a superwoman.
That's good. My daughter, you are a superwoman.
So my daughter, my husband, my mom, my brother-in-law, and my sister, when I quit my job, and they were like, okay, what are you going to do next? I said, property. Great. 1 year from now, you're going to be having what all stuff? I mean, what are you going to buy next? I said, a few more properties. And they're going to be proper, you know, assets and not something which I'm living in. And they were like, okay, let's go and open a champagne. So that's the family I have. Yeah.
Wow. That's really rare.
Yeah, absolutely rare. Me and my husband, we have a coffee in a cafe with our dog every morning. That's how we start our day. And it's amazing how much he loves to hear about, you know, the property part of it. It could be a crazy guest in my London property, or it could be something Jordan's doing, you know, in Mumbles. Or I'm meeting somebody for networking over drinks, you know, during the evening, not the day. He would be totally invested in listening to me. Yesterday, my daughter came by. She lives on her own. And this is really interesting because she's just finished her university and she's in a private equity firm. So she's been seeing me do this and she's like, okay, can I see your bank statement? I was like, here it is. See the balance sheet and see the P&L statement. The bank statement, I'm not going to talk anything because I'm going to invest it back. After a while, she was like, I'm paying a rent of 1100 right now because she's sharing with two people. I'm going to give you 10K to invest in a rent to service accommodation. How much will I make? It needs to make something like Mumbles. So it pays my rent and my expenses. I was like, okay, done. So she is now thinking of her expenses getting covered by a rent-to-rent through me.
Wow.
My husband wants to change his car. He's like, okay, I'm giving you 10K. Can you invest it and get me a rent-to-rent and you run it and I'm going to change a car. I change my car. I was like, yeah, why not? So now people are, you know, like the way they're looking at me in my own family, like though they believed in me, now they're benefiting from it as well.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think as well, it's not just that rent to rent is amazing. It's that you are amazing because you are able to identify a good deal.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing. You can lose money.
100%.
Not just in rent to rents, but in property in general.
100%.
And you have to be able to risk assess the deal.
Yes.
How's life different now than from, say, 2 years ago when you were in your job? Is it better?
It's 100 times better. I travel for leisure and not for work anymore. I travel around UK because I look at properties. I network with different people. I don't drive, so I have to take the trains. I'm all over the place. But yeah, my service accommodation business takes about 1 hour a day. That's too much as well. I have time in my hands now. So next year is going to be huge. I'm looking at the fast cash growing by 3x. Going to get into a lot of JVs. For commercial and residential properties. Life has changed 360 degrees and I love it.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And I think as well, you know what I found? You had a little bit of money behind you when you got into the academy, which is great, which obviously helped you. But some people that have got money, especially if the money's come from inheritance, they are lazy.
100%.
And they just think, oh, I'm just going to invest it or pay people to do all the work for me.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make me rich. And then I'm going to replace my income, live happily ever after. Yeah. But it's not like that. You've got to, when you grilled through the numbers and said, don't even show me unless you've taken 20% off, because I'm going to be going through this with a fine tooth comb. Yeah. You're good at finding good people, finding good properties. Like, that's a bit of a skill.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand that, because you can't just say, oh, I've got 100 grand. I'll just pay someone to get me 10 rent-to-rents and then I'll just retire. No, you need to know the risks and the mistakes that can happen and the downsides to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely.
Every investment comes with an element of risk. What are the key things? Did you have to turn down a lot of deals? Did you see stuff that looked good on a paper, but then when you looked into it, you thought, actually, this isn't good?
I think your mom, Sue, would be the best to answer that.
Yeah.
The first 50 deals I turned down.
Really? Yeah,
first 50.
Damn.
The numbers just wouldn't stack up for me. I wasn't trying to earn £500 from a rent-to-rent.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a 2K from a rent-to-rent.
Right.
So I think as a deal source, it's really important to understand your customer. Because yes, of course, the £500 deal works for a lot of people. If you want 2K to be, you know, your goal as a cash flow every month, you have four properties, it's going to give you 2K. But if I want to have one property which is going to give me 2K, it's a very different property, which I'm a different kind of property. It has to have full occupancy rate. It has to have contractors which are, you know, attracted to the property. it has to be managed by an expert. So I think the brief versus what was coming to me, I rejected 50.
So you were, you weren't just like some people, oh, I'll just pay somebody.
No.
No, you were really particular about what you wanted, 100%. Your requirements. Your, 100%. And my mom is a stickler for due diligence.
Yes.
So she'll go through with a fine tooth. And she does that. She'll, as you know, on the academy, we review every deal before you buy it. And just make sure there's no red flags, cautions, blind spots.
Absolutely. And my little piece of advice here is that even if the academy does the due diligence for you, you have paid for the academy to get trained.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing the due diligence first before sending it? Like, you know,
you have to. Yeah. I mean, if you're brand new, then fine.
Yes.
But every time you submit a deal, you should be submitting a better quality,
100%.
Well-researched deal each time.
Yes.
And when you start out, you might not really know how to do that.
Yeah. And a great piece of advice from you, you said, don't buy a deal before you do it yourself, which you always say.
Yeah.
For me, that's why I waited for my, you know, tenants to go.
Yes.
My property, and I wanted to run a service accommodation myself.
Sure.
To understand what really
I'm
happens.
I'm so happy you did that, Tina.
Yeah.
And that's what I do say. So the thought process behind that is, and this is again an interesting point for you as a manager, as someone who's a senior manager, hundreds of staff, you were used to outsourcing everything.
Correct.
When you start a new business, you have to do it yourself to begin with.
Absolutely.
Because if you outsource it, the people that you outsource it to will lie to you.
Yes.
They'll pull the wool over your eyes and they'll say, oh, it's because it's Easter. Or, correct. Oh, it takes 4 hours to clean this apartment.
Yes.
When you've humbled yourself and you've cleaned it, even if you just did it once.
Correct. Absolutely.
Just once.
Yeah.
And then you can tell the cleaners, no, it takes 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
How do I know? Because I did it.
Yes.
Put in a property listing it. You only have to do it maybe once, but when you've done everything yourself, then you can start paying deal sources. Then you can start paying cleaners and management companies, and no one can dare pull the wool over your eyes because you have been trained, you've done it, you've experienced it, and you can then hire. And also, when I'm hiring somebody, like even if I'm hiring, I don't know, a salesperson.
Yeah.
If I'm hiring a salesperson, I can tell if they're good or not because I know how to sell. If I'm hiring a videographer, I might not be a great videographer, but I know the basics.
Correct.
I've made videos myself. Yeah. So now if I'm hiring someone, they can't talk nonsense to me because I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I know how this business runs. I know how it works.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that really helped me investing in myself and, you know, of course, I've cleaned the property once myself. I hated it.
Once?
I hated it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How was it going from a senior manager on really well-respected?
Yeah.
People are probably afraid of you.
Yeah.
You're running the show, going down to now I'm having to clean the toilets.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that mentally?
I think there were days when I would say it's not for me. It's very, very easy to gravitate from my kind of a role to consulting. Very easy to gravitate. Okay, you go on a daily rate, you make top money. But I told myself that I started my life in sales from a front line to, you know, where I was. So think of yourself as the front line, which is a cleaner, you know, and okay, you're going to go to the top. That was the last time I cleaned the property and the first time. So I didn't do it again. But yeah, I hired the best. My domestic cleaner is my cleaner for my SA. Outsourced everything now. I don't have staff, but my plumber, my cleaner, my neighbor, my nephew.
Freelancers.
Everybody does something. Like today I'm here, I have a check-in. Mine is not a keyless because, you know, we couldn't install one. Somebody is checking in the guests.
Yeah.
I have a 5-star reviewed property, only 5 stars. I'm a super host, top 1% of London and guest favorite. So what else do you need?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Wait, it's great to see what you've done. What would you say has been the biggest learning point over the last couple of years in going from one property in England, you had your property in India, to two properties, to now having a portfolio, being a property millionaire, making six figures, flipping properties, like you've done a lot. What would you say has been the biggest learning point?
I think it's really important to get educated. Because I'm an Indian by, you know, my birth, we gravitate towards buying property, buying gold, but you don't do it the right way. things have changed. Buy-to-lets work in terms of, yes, it'll give you, you know, it will make its money over time, but your cash flow is zero from a buy-to-let. So if you don't get educated, you're not going to keep up with the trends, what's really happening. So education is one. The second thing is, I wouldn't have been here in a year, especially this year, without the network. The rooms I enter, as I mentioned, are full of people with expertise in certain areas of properties. Mm. I dip into each of that and learn continuously. So there is no age for, you know, stopping to learn. I'm 50 and I started my life again. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for coming on Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to another year ahead. Thank you so much, Samuel, for having me. It was my dream to be here when I used to watch the YouTube videos. I don't believe in a year I'm sitting here across you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well deserved.